Hello, Dr. Meyer. How are you? How are you doing, Doc? What's that?
I'm great. How are you?
That's awesome. It's going great. Awesome. Obviously, we need to get more awesome as this podcast goes on today. Great to have you here. We're still talking about optimizing your practice and increasing the value in your practice. Our last podcast, if you listen to it, we really went into detail on what you can do individually to clean up your house, was the analogy. If you're going to sell your house, you're going to update it to get the most out of the value of that house. Same thing you need to do in your practice. And we're going to dive a little bit more into that. But here's my question. I have a lot of doctors that come to us looking to hire. And the reason why is they're going to go open another practice. Or they're looking at selling their practice. And here's the scary thought, docs that are listening, what would happen tomorrow if you didn't show up in your office? And I'll even challenge you more, docs, what would happen if you didn't show up for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? Would the office still be alive? Would it collapse? Are you the only one over a table making a living in that office, making that world go round? And what people are looking at when they buy your practice is it a machine? And the more of a machine it's set up as, and the more willing that owner, that the person coming in to buy that practice from you, is going to look at the value of that office. So, Dr. Allen, can you speak into that, talking about this build to scale component inside of a practice?
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the last episode, we talked about valuing on Main Street. So, how you go from 1.5 to 3 times EBITDA. And we really went in depth. So the evolution, the next part of that conversation that we want to give insight is, you know, being at Kyer Matchmakers, we place about 200 associate docs a year. We place CAs in offices. And then now we've got this big team of virtual live offshore people. So we get to talk to a lot of different business owners. And what started happening about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Mark, is we started getting on calls with people who had large groups of clinics. We had one of those this morning, actually. And then we started getting calls of people that didn't even have clinics, but they had money. And they were called private equity and venture capital. And they said, you know, we've targeted chiropractic as an industry that we think we can come in and buy a whole bunch of these clinics to create value. And so when we talk about a Main Street exit, which we did in the last episode, that's selling to an individual or maybe a small group, you know, that has a few clinics. But when you talk Wall Street exit, that's usually implying a group that has a big fund of money who are professionals at rolling up industries. And, you know, the classic in this is dentistry. You know, when I was a kid, all dentists owned their own clinics. And today, the majority of dentists work for large corporations because all those small clinics got bought up. They got put under one roof. They were consolidated. All the systems were set up. And what private equity does is they take all those clinics that are worth $100 million, and because they now have a group of them and they've got all the systems in place and the people in place, now they get a valuation of $1 billion or $2 billion. It's called a roll-up. And that's how private equity makes its money. And so it's interesting to have that conversation, whether you own a few clinics or one clinic. Private equity will often pay a higher multiple for your clinic than a Main Street exit. So Main Street exits 1.5 to 3 times. A private equity exit can be 3 all the way up to 10, depending on the situation, how many clinics you have. So we're going to talk more on that private equity side today than the last episode where we talked about the mom and pop Main Street purchase. But you touched on something there, Dr. Mark. If you have a group of clinics, you become more valuable. And You're right. One of the most popular calls we get is the doc wanting to do their second clinic. They've got some level of success. And so they think, I want to open more clinics. And you touched on it. I did this, and I failed pretty good at it. I own 4 clinics today. We own 7 decompression clinics, so 11 clinics. But man, did I ever pay a lot of tuition. And I want to tell you, a failed chiropractic clinic is expensive tuition. And if somebody, when I had my first practice, would have said, you're not allowed to open a second practice until you leave for 60 to 90 days. I prefer 90 days, 3 months. You cannot step foot in that business. You cannot talk to that business. You cannot coach that business. And when you come back in 90 days, if that business is as you left it, if it grew, even better. But if it's just kind of where you left it, now you've got the green light to go open more clinics. That should be, and there's nobody out there to tell you that. Nobody told me that. So I did what most docs do. I thought I had a good thing, so I opened the second clinic. And unfortunately, I poached from the first clinic and sent 300 people to the second clinic. So now the main cash cow takes a drop. And then after a year or so, the doc I opened the other clinic with opens down the street and takes the staff, your worst case scenario. So now I'm using my original clinic to pay for this other clinic. Now I'm having to go down there and fill in. I'm having to find a doc. And so now everything is dropping. And I took what was a really nice business and I spread it too thin because I never got a system in place that I could have left the first clinic in the first place for 3 months. And so that alone, Dr. Mark, if docs were diligent about that, I think they'd save themselves a lot of pitfalls.
And I will tell you the next step in that iteration is the doctor, if he's able to do that, awesome, you're ready to take the next step. But you as the owner should be the one launching the next clinic. And wow. I think people are like, they're surprised to hear that. They're like, well, I want to find a doctor who can do that for me. Well, the doctor who can do that for you is usually a doctor who will go do it for them. And like that doctor did with you, moved down the street, took half your staff and most of your patients with, right? Because they're able to do it. If you can backfill yourself, so what we talk about all the time with clients that we're working with is backfill yourself. You're the rainmaker. You're the business builder. You know how to start a clinic from scratch. You've done it already. Bring a doc in who can see patients in your practice, continue to keep your marketing going, your referrals and so forth, and you go jump to that practice that's 5 or 20 miles down the road to open that next expansion office. And then if you want to do another clinic, do the same thing. Build it up. 6 months, a year, 18 months, leave for 60 days, 90 days. Hey, it worked out great. I backfilled myself. Now I'm going to go open the next one. That's the ones who are doing that are actually the ones who are replicating their practices fastest.
Yeah, we're not coaches, Mark, but I feel like this might be a hole in the coaching world of chiropractic. Most people show up thinking, I want to find a doc. I'm going to bring him in. I'm going to help them build up their clinic under me. I'm going to send them all the new patients. I'm going to teach them how I marketed. That rarely works.
Really?
I mean, it really doesn't. But what works is I built a big clinic. I want to bring somebody in and I'm going to day one put all of my adjusting on them so they're maxed out from day one. And because I'm the rainmaker, I'm going to go build up the next clinic. That works regularly. And I don't hear that coached very often, but it is so much easier to find great adjusting chiropractors to take over a base of people than it is to find somebody who can, you know, there's a gift in especially if you're doing any kind of care plan, high dollar, whether it's decompression, soft wave, functional health, corrective chiropractic plans, wellness plans, family. There's a gift to bond with people, build a speed of trust. And there's a lot of great coaching programs that can teach people how to do this and sales programs. But the fact is, you know, we've done over 20,000 pro scans on chiropractors. 71% should have been accountants, engineers, they could have been accountants, engineers, or architects. And instead they're chiropractors. You know, think of how an engineer is wired or, you know, they're not the ones out there drumming up the business for the firm. You know, they're the ones executing on the work. And that's what most chiropractors want. They want a good salary. They want to give great care. They want to know the systems, what's expected of them. And they're not there to run the business. And so if you're thinking of scaling to a point where now private equity finds you interesting because you've got 3, 4, 5, 10 clinics, mm-hmm. which is where you move your multiple. If you apply all the things, let's be honest, to get to 5 to 10 clinics, you applied everything in the last episode, so you have a system. So now you got private equity. Now you're looking at a 5 multiple, a 6 multiple, an 8 multiple, a 10 multiple. There's a lot of different groups out there and what they're looking for. But that becomes a reality for you. But it's not something to step into, and it's something that we typically see. You know, I'm going to go back to, I don't want to speak out of turn, but from the little bit I've been around the good folks at Chiro One and Stu Burnson, and I think if there's an OG in chiropractic who has done this, who has built it and sold to private equity and from beginning to end, it's Stu. And he's one of the best guys in chiropractic. and he is the authority. But one thing I can't help but notice is they really understand insurance, and that's their value add, and they know how to do it well. So that takes the sales burden off of the team that they had to hire. So I'm sure there's still some sales involved in what they do, but if you're on the cash side of things, you need a team of salespeople, and it's hard to find those people to scale. Versus, that's where we talk about, if the usually an owner who's built a big practice has those sales skills, oftentimes they're the ones that can go build the clinics and then backfill it with other docs.
Yeah, these businesses, what they're looking for is, if they're going to buy you, they're not trying to buy you. They're trying to buy a business that already is stable without you, right? But that's the reason why a lot of times when they come in and buy you, that there's the first money and the second money. It's the reason why you stay on board for 2-3 years during this exit process. And the reason why is they want to make sure that that practice or practices continue to grow. They keep you on board as they gradually bring in the team to replace you, especially in multi-businesses, to bring out the CEO of it, which would be the owner. You stay on board. And the reason why is they want to make sure that it still works as a business, and then to get you replaced so the business doesn't.
Let's go in again, because this needs to be repeated. Whether you're going for a mom and pop, you're trying to sell to a young kid coming out of school who wants to practice, or you're looking at opening multiple clinics and trying to entice a private equity firm to come in and buy you, you know, buyers aren't buying you. They're buying a business that works without you. And so here's the key things. You need redundancy, and you need cross-training. No single point of failure. That means people can step in. If a doctor doesn't show, you've got a backup plan. There's contingency plans. A CA doesn't show, there's a contingency plan so that things keep moving. In office staff, you've got clearly defined roles for the patient-facing roles. And it's not wearing every hat in the business, as is the same for the DCs. You know, if the DC is out there doing marketing and spinal screenings and talks, and they're training the team and they're delivering the care and they're doing sales, that's not what private equity is interested in. They want chiropractors who are there to be chiropractors, who can give great clinical care within the constructs, the guidelines, the techniques of the office. They need in-office CAs who aren't doing 50 things. They're specialized. And so then the offshore VCAs, or if you're really lucrative, more in-office people. But in today's model, we're at $9.87 an hour for a college-educated person who's worked for one of the big corporate companies overseas. You know, it would be like paying $100,000 for somebody on your team. They're the people that can handle the back-end KPIs, confirmations, insurance, reviews, content. So now you've got redundancy and cross-training. And also now, not to mention, Mark, your staff likes what they're doing. Because when you have to do too many things, there's always stuff they're good at and there's stuff they're not good at. And guess what? The stuff they're not good at is the stuff that makes them not like the job and burns them out. So get other, you know, Dr. DeMartini says, find people who are experts. So that back office person should be energized by the back office stuff, the offshore person. The front end person should be energized by greeting and interacting with people. Keep those separate. You're going to be shocked at how much longer your team stays with you, how much higher their satisfaction is. What else do you have to add on this, Mark?
Yeah, I think it's leveraging tech as well, right? So what do you have for EHR, automation, scheduling? You know, your VCAs, they can help with scheduling now. These offshore, they get right in your system, handle that for you, which is wonderful. You know, and along the way, what we're trying to do is, let's be honest, as the owner, we're trying to shrink that owner's role. We're trying to bring other people in to do it, because that's what these companies need you to do, is sooner or later, you're not going to be there. You're selling the practice. You want to leave. You want to be done. They're trying to buy you out, and they're trying to buy you out of your time, and they're trying to replace you. So, you know, you see many, many times in chiropractic where, and I hate it, I'm in Iowa, and once a quarter, I get an email about a chiropractor passing away who's still practicing. You know, they got cancer or had a heart attack. And you just know what that family's going through, not only mourning the loss, but mourning the loss of a business. You know, probably their primary income that kept their family, you know, alive. And if they did well, there's money to be had. But there's a lot of times I see a GoFundMe that's there, right? It doesn't make sense to me in our profession today. If you just have the right team in place, if your office doesn't count on you as a solo doc and you actually have redundancy in the practice and you leverage, you know, in-office CAs, offshore CAs, EHR systems, email systems, text message reminders, you know, a marketing system that's in place, you know, the old done by you instead of, you know, getting now is the done for you is really what needs to happen to get our practice to mature, to be valued by these companies that are coming in buying people out.
Amen, man. I mean, it's, if you, and I'll, we'll put a cherry on top by saying the less you're needed and the more boring the business, the more you're going to sell it for. And so I cringed, Mark, when I was on vacation, to be transparent. We're still working towards this in our businesses. I was in France for 3 weeks this summer, and man, I came back to a lot of people needing a lot of stuff from me. And I knew that was a problem, you know, because I'm still, you know, I cringed when I got in a couple of meetings. Oh, so good to have you back. I was like, ah, I don't want to be the man. I don't need to be the man. I need to, and you know, that's another thing on your exit from private equity. If you're not in it because you've built everything, you're going to get a lot more money and you're going to get your money out of the private equity faster than if you're the one in the middle of it and you have to be there. So try to work yourself out of a job by building great systems, great people. And the bottom line is you're going to have more revenue. And here's the dream, everybody. If you do this really well, you probably won't want to sell it to private equity because the thing's going to be cash flowing so good and you don't have to be there. And you built something that's truly the dream of every entrepreneur. And then when you don't have to sell, you of course have the most leverage because, yeah, I'm making several million a year from these businesses. You know, what are you going to do, Mr. Private Equity, that really benefits or changes my life that much? That's a real position of power. I learned in negotiation, whoever has more time and cares less usually has the upper hand. And if you got a great business that's cash flowing, you don't have to be in it a lot, you usually you're good collecting money long-term and there's no need to sell it. You're in the power position on that negotiation with the PE firms.
Talk about reoccurring income, right?
Yeah, totally.
Awesome.
Good call. Love you, brother.
Awesome. Take care, man. Bye-bye. Yeah.